Hi, I'm Nicole.
And I'm Anna.
And we're impersonating doctors.
Not really, but we sure feel like it sometimes. We're two resident physicians with a specific interest.
Medical training is hard. People can tell you how to be best prepared for rounds or how to perfectly put in a chest tube, but rarely does someone talk about the emotional toll of medical training. We've experienced those emotional side effects firsthand, and now we want to talk about them.
We're going to talk about the times we felt like imposters, the time we had no idea what we were doing, the ups, the downs, the good days, the bad days, and the feelings in between.
So join us as we tackle that side of medical training that nobody talks about. Welcome back to the pod, everybody. We're so excited to talk to our lovely guest, Zeynep Saeed. She is a fourth year medical student about to match into OBGYN. I have every confidence that she will match this year. We're so excited for her. Can you tell us a little bit about why medicine and why OB, the best specialty in the world?
Definitely. Well, first, I just want to say that I'm very excited to be here. I'm a big fan of both of you as individuals and also of the podcast as a whole. I went to high school with Anna. Woo-hoo! And I still remember watching her musical theater production.
Oh, my God.
And she was a star on the stage. And then I was lucky to have Nicole as my intern during my gynecology sub-I earlier this summer. So really admire both of you and everything that you've been doing. And I really admire the podcast too. When Nicole told me that this is something that you guys do together, I think it was just really meaningful to know that there's people who really care about this part of medicine and medical training. So I've been a devoted fan and listened to every episode, especially when I've been taking long walks. So thank you for having me.
Oh my gosh. Oh, thanks for listening.
Yeah. In terms of your question, why medicine and why OBGYN as my specialty, I think for me, the question of why medicine is kind of complicated. And I think part of the reason is the reason I'm on the podcast today is because I have so many family members who are in medicine as well. So even though I think like I definitely came to the decision on my own, I think it's hard to kind of take away that part of my life and imagine if my dad wasn't a doctor, if my older sister hadn't pursued medicine, if things would have been different. So I think that's something that I like definitely acknowledge. And I know that there's been a lot of talk recently about family and medicine and how that kind of impacts training and the privilege that that can really afford people. So I definitely want to acknowledge that in terms of how I made my decision. But I think personally, going back to thinking about my time in school and high school and even before college, I think I really valued science and I thought it was really cool that you could ask a question and come up with ways to answer it in a way that was very much evidence-based, because I think even though I really liked the humanities, especially in high school, I think the uncertainty of a lot of that type of learning made me uncomfortable. And I think now knowing what I know about medicine, that's so funny to me because there's a lot of uncertainty in medicine and it's not always cut and dry like I previously kind of thought science was. So I think that was kind of the reason I pursued science in undergrad. And in undergrad, I kind of expanded my education to beyond just doing a biology degree. I went to Xavier University in Cincinnati. I did a double major in bio and psych. And I think that was really meaningful for me too in my journey in medicine, because I think that helped me see kind of more of the holistic approach to medicine and the humanism that's really important in medicine as well. And I think kind of, I know this is a very cliche answer that a lot of people give, especially when they're pre-meds, but I think when I thought about choosing a career, I wanted to be in a career that I thought would be really fulfilling to me. Yeah. And I think the cliche thing that people say is like, I wanted to find something where I could help people. Mm-hmm. But I think like my own experience with what I know about medicine from my family, I really saw medicine as a really great path for that. So that was kind of how I decided to pursue medicine. And then in terms of choosing a specialty, now as a fourth year about to graduate, I look back on my time in medical school and I feel like my path to choosing my specialty was very nonlinear. And I think that's true for a lot of people. But I've talked about this with Nicole as well. I was kind of all over the place, especially third year, because every single rotation that I did, I felt like there was something in it that I really liked and I could definitely see myself doing. And when I originally came to medicine or to medical school, I was interested in pursuing either psychiatry or pediatrics. And I think both of those fields I kind of always had on the table. But when I did my OBGYN rotation, it was actually one of my first rotations in third year. I was very shocked that I liked it because I never envisioned myself doing something surgical.
Oh.
So I think that was something that kind of made me a little bit conflicted because I really liked the specialty and I really liked all of the valuable relationships you can make with patients and all of the like immediate gratification things that can happen, like delivering a baby and doing a procedure. But then beyond that, kind of the more like longitudinal relationships and the preventative medicine that you can counsel patients on and helping patients kind of learn more about their bodies and navigating really difficult diagnoses like endometriosis or with, especially with a geriatric patient population, things that are like embarrassing to talk about. So I think for me, I was kind of conflicted and still deciding, but ultimately I ended up choosing OBGYN because I couldn't let go of that feeling that I had during my rotation. And I did a GYN sub-I where I met Nicole. And for me, that kind of solidified that even though I still think I, sometimes people are like, you should only do surgery if you can't imagine your life, if you wouldn't be in the OR, like you wouldn't be happy. And I don't know if I feel that strongly about the OR, but I think it's something that I do like about medicine. And I think the diversity in the field is something that really excites me for my future. So that's kind of my pathway to medicine and my specialty in a nutshell.
That's awesome. Wow.
It's incredible. I can tell you've been interviewing for residency because that was incredible.
Like no ums, no likes, very eloquent, yeah, very so put impressed. Together. Oh my goodness. So Senna, break it down for us a little bit. Who in the fam is a doctor? Are we talking like grandparents? Are we talking great grandparents? You had mentioned your dad and your older sister.
Yeah, definitely. So my family, there's a lot of people in medicine in my extended family. And I actually asked my dad today for some clarification because my dad has a really big family. He is the youngest of 13 siblings.
Whoa!
So a lot of cousins that I have, a lot of second cousins and third cousins, I guess, their kids. So huge family, but my paternal grandfather, so my dad's dad, was a physician, and both of my parents are immigrants from Pakistan. And when I was talking to my dad, I knew a little bit about my grandfather's kind of like educational and professional history. But unfortunately, he passed away when I was very young, so I never really got the chance to know him. But my dad told me that my grandfather graduated from a medical college in Pakistan, and it was actually the same medical college that my dad later attended as well.
Whoa.
But he was, my grandfather was the first medical graduate of Western medicine in the region of Pakistan where my dad is originally from. It's kind of like a small, like village type area. So a very kind of like exciting thing that he kind of trailblazed. But before that, my grandfather's dad and his dad were practitioners of Eastern medicine, so more traditional medicine. And in Urdu, which is the language that I speak, that's called a hakim. So even before my grandfather entered medicine, there was kind of like this medical like essence to the family. Like there was medicine kind of being passed down in that way. And my grandfather actually worked as, I think back then, I'm not sure if this is true for the United States, but my grandfather graduated in 1924 from medical college. So maybe things are similar here, but I don't know enough about medical history to know that. But you didn't really specialize in anything. Like you didn't decide to be like, I'm going to be like a colorectal surgeon. Like you would.
It was everything,
like,
right?
A general. Yeah. Exactly. Especially in that region. So he worked a lot with tuberculosis patients and really kind of introduced a lot for the patients there who had tuberculosis and founded some institutions for patients there. And in addition to that, he was also kind of like a general surgeon. Mm-hmm. So would do more procedural things for his patients as well. And was kind of regarded like in that region as like the medical professional, where that was like the one medical professional.
Sanam, that's awesome.
So my grandfather had 13 kids, and my dad is a physician, and my dad is the youngest of those 13. And my dad has, I think, one older brother who was also a physician and one older sister who was also a physician. But in their kids, so all of my first cousins, a couple of months ago, my dad and I were kind of counting how many physicians are on his side of the family. And I think there's like, when I graduate medical school in the future, in a few months, I will be like the 28th or like 30th or something.
Oh
And I
my
have several
gosh,
cousins who are
goodness.
doctors. And a lot of my cousins are like my parents' age because my dad has so many older siblings. So
Yeah.
their kids are also physicians now too.
Oh.
And in my immediate family, my dad, he did his medical school in Pakistan, but then came to the United States for his training. And then my older sister is a peds resident, just like Anna.
Woof
She
woof.
goes, she's a resident in Cleveland, so not too far from our hometown of Cincinnati. But she actually attended the same medical school that I go to. So I got to be with her for the first 2 years of my medical education. And I was roommates with her. And then when she graduated, my younger sister actually started at the same medical school as well.
Oh my
So
gosh.
she is in her second year of medical school, studying for her step one exam right now. So definitely
So
a
sorry.
very medically oriented family.
Oh my goodness.
But it's very interesting to me because my mom, her side of family is not very medical at all. I always thought it was interesting when I was younger that like my dad's side of the family was like scientific and like medicine and all of this like
Left brain.
exactly. And then
Yeah.
my mom used to be a teacher in Pakistan, and my mom's dad was in the military in Pakistan, and my grandma on my mom's side actually didn't even finish high school. But a lot of people on my mom's side of the family were in the arts, like fashion design and like textile design. So like very different kind of more right brain compared to my dad's side of the family.
And you now have both right and left
Exactly.
joining.
Yeah.
That's so cool. And it's so cool too to like think about your grandfather. And like, I wonder if he ever thought about the legacy that he was putting forth, that he was the start of bringing so many incredible doctors into the world. That's so cool.
Yeah, I think it's for him. I think his experience with medicine was so unique because he was kind of like the only doctor in that area. So I'm sure that he would be very proud that so many of his grandkids and their kids are pursuing the field that he kind of was a revolutionary in
A
that
trailblazer.
area. Yeah.
I don't know if I missed it. Did you say what field of medicine your dad is in?
So he's a gastroenterologist.
Nice. And so older
That's
sister is
awesome.
peds, you're OB, so kind of, baby is linking.
Yeah,
Yeah.
definitely.
Does your younger sister know what she wants to go into?
No, she still doesn't know. I think she still has some time to figure it out, but I'll be interested to see what she ends up picking. I definitely kind of see her in a field where she would be able to kind of have those more meaningful longitudinal relationships with patients because she's very good at things like that. So,
So, oh my gosh, Zenob, and with your dad being a GI doc, I'm assuming he saw some pretty gross stuff. He smelled some pretty gross stuff. What kind of like dinner table conversations did you guys have growing up? What stories did you hear from him?
definitely. So I think that is also kind of an interesting thing that when I look back on my childhood, I don't really remember like specifically what things we would talk about in terms of medicine with him. But I know that it was kind of like more like normalized for us, I guess. Like we felt more comfortable talking about some of those things about our bodies. And my dad actually, in addition to being a physician, he worked kind of as like a educator to like for universities in the past, and he's also invented a couple of medical devices. So I remember when I was younger, I like learned about that and kind of like what his devices did and all of that stuff. So I think now, though, that my sisters and I are all in medicine as well, sometimes like our conversations can be a little bit medically oriented. And I feel like that kind of goes back to a little bit of the privilege that I was talking about earlier, because I think that that really affords a lot of opportunity to kind of have a safe space to like talk about these difficult things with people. I was recently taking a rotation at the children's hospital here, and I saw a lot of really difficult things in terms of like child maltreatment and abuse. And I feel like I was so lucky that I was able to like call my sisters and kind of debrief about my day and just talk in a medical language without having to explain things further. And I definitely can do that with my mom too, and she's the most supportive person ever. But I know that sometimes she doesn't know all of the acronyms and all of the different words that we're using. So for me to be able to kind of have those conversations with my older sister who's now in residency, or my younger sister who's kind of learning, getting started with her clinical rotation soon, I feel like that's something that I feel really lucky about, that I can just kind of have these conversations and not have to worry that like people won't understand what I'm saying necessarily. So I think that's like a thing that people don't really think about too when they think about having that type of privilege, that your family members are in medicine and you kind of maybe have that kind of hidden curriculum that's been kind of passed down to you just because of that privilege of having people in that same line of work.
What was it like when you talked to your family about, hey, I'm interested in a career in medicine? Were they supportive? Were they hesitant? Did they tell you all of the nitty-gritty difficult things? So what was that discussion kind of
Yeah,
like?
I think definitely supportive. And I feel like that's something I'm so lucky for as well, because I think for a lot of people who don't have like a parent in medicine or like an aunt or an uncle or a sibling, it seems really daunting when they decide, like, I'm going to be a doctor, because that's so many years of education. And I feel like people might have a perception of what a life in medicine is like from like a secondhand account. But if you don't really know it firsthand, then I feel like you aren't able to like necessarily know the pros and the cons as well.
Yes.
So I think for me, growing up, I think like my dad's schedule was definitely very busy. And I think that was something that I recognized about medicine. But despite that, I think when I told my family that I'm planning on becoming a physician, I think they were really supportive, because I think despite seeing that like it's a demanding lifestyle and sometimes you kind of aren't in charge of your own schedule, the gratification that you can get from that career is something that I think my parents and my sisters and my extended family kind of recognized would be something that I was really interested in. So I think luckily for me, it was a lot of support from my family. And I think in addition to that, like kind of having an older sister who'd gone through the same thing, especially being pre-med, I think that helped a lot too, because then my parents, especially my mom, who didn't know a lot about what a career in medicine would look like, kind of knew what to expect. Like she knew, like, okay, like the MCAT is something that's going to come up soon, and she'll be really stressed out about that. But then once that's done, she'll have this thing to do. So I think like talking to my friends right now in medical school who don't have family members who really know a lot about medicine, they have a lot to explain sometimes. Like one of my friends mentioned, like her parents didn't recognize how big of a deal step one and step two really are. Like they thought, like, oh, it's a test, and she takes tests like every other week, so it's just one of those tests. But I think for me, like, luckily, because especially because my older sister has been through it so recently, I think that's like kind of another thing that I'm really fortunate to have. And I think that is truly like something that I've been grateful for, because even though my dad went to medical school, he went to medical school decades ago, in a different country. So he hasn't always been able to kind of offer like that direct help in terms of like, this is how you do an application for residency, or this is what you need to do. But having my sister and people that like she, that were in her class or like in the class above me in medical school, like their support has really meant a lot. So I think that was definitely something I thought about too, especially with people who don't have anyone in their life who's gone through this before. I imagine that would be very challenging to kind of do everything on your own and kind of troubleshoot everything on your own too.
Yes, it is.
Yep, can confirm.
It's interesting too, Zenob, that you brought up that your dad went through medical school, A, in another country, and B, decades ago. Does he ever, like, jokingly or seriously, like, when you tell him what your days look like, what your schedule looks like, is he ever like, went back in my day, we used to work 30 hours without breaks? Does he ever do that to you?
Not that much, but he did mention that, like, I remember my younger sister recently took an exam, and he mentioned something along the lines of, like, it seems like medical school is a lot harder now than it was when I was a medical student.
Wait,
And I
wait,
think that's
wait.
something that I've heard.
Rewind. What? They used to do cocaine back in the day to be able to stay awake. What do you mean?
I know. I think that's something I've heard from some of my preceptors as well. Like, people say, like, if I had to apply to medical school now, like, I don't know if I would get in, because I think everything is just so much more competitive, and there's like all these additional things that you kind of have to do to consider yourself a successful medical student, and all this pressure to do like research and leadership opportunities. Whereas I think when he was going through medical school, like, certainly that was something that existed, but it was a little bit more like normal, like school. But I think now, like, medical school has just transformed into this like very
It's a beast.
competitive thing. Exactly.
I saw this kind of sad and also funny tweet where it was like, you have to have a PhD to apply for a PhD program.
Yeah,
Like, it's how
that's
it
the
feels like
I
sometimes.
exactly. And I think just beyond medicine, even, I think in a lot of fields now, it's just I think it can be kind of demoralizing because people feel like they have to do all of these extra things just to get to a certain place. So I think that's definitely something that I thought about too, is I wonder in the future if I'll feel that way. Like, if when eventually when I'm in attending and I'm working with medical students, if I'll be like, wow, this medical student is a lot more impressive than I was when I was a medical student. Because I think the more competitive it gets, the more people just have to kind of differentiate themselves and kind of find a way to stand out.
Can you recall any pieces of advice that your family has given you as you were starting to pursue this career in medicine?
I think one thing that I've really appreciated, especially from my mom, is knowing that I'd always be able to turn to her for support. And I think one of the things about medicine that I didn't necessarily recognize when I started medical school, was things about the medical system. And I think I learned that as I kind of progressed through clinical years. And I think sometimes I would feel so dejected that I'm entering this kind of broken system, and it's not perfect by any means, and there's so many things that kind of need to be done. And sometimes, like, I feel like the system really fails patients. And I think that wasn't something I really expected, but I think the advice that I feel like I got from my family, but also from other mentors in medicine, was kind of like, you have to find ways to make a difference that makes you feel like you're meaningfully contributing to whatever you're doing. And I think that's been really helpful just because I feel like I'm too young to get jaded and burnt out. And it's definitely been helpful to kind of have that approach, that knowing, like, I don't think I can fix the problem with insurance in the United States single-handedly as a fourth-year medical student, but what can I do to make a difference in that realm in the future? And I think that's been really meaningful advice. And I think beyond that too, medical school is very difficult no matter who you are. And I think definitely, like a lot of other people, there's been times where I've struggled academically or emotionally or just in general. And knowing that I have people that I can kind of talk to about that, that's been, I think, the most meaningful thing. And I think in terms of picking a specialty, I think that was the thing that I really found meaningful in terms of advice from my family as well, was knowing that they just wanted me to pick something where I would be happy. And I think initially when I decided OB-GYN, or I was kind of talking about OB-GYN, I think the kind of question of the lifestyle of an OB-GYN physician came up a few times. But then ultimately, I think my family decided that the most important thing is for me to pick something where I would be happy. And I think that's been kind of one of the more meaningful things that's gotten me through medical school, is knowing that I have their support.
That's amazing. Awesome. Do you feel, though, ever, like, when you're having a hard time, and I love that you can talk to your family, and I'm sure being roommates with your older sister when you both were kind of going through the ringer probably really helped, but did you ever have a fear of disappointing your, like, whole physician family if you were struggling with something? I know that I was even worried about disappointing my own parents with, you know, boards and just going through medicine in general, but I feel like you have this added stress with this kind of high achieving family, so they expect you to be high achieving as well.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's like one of those other things that it's hard for me to answer, because if I didn't have a family in medicine, I wonder how different things would be, if I even would have landed on this career. Mm-hmm. But I think, like, I think similar to a lot of medical students who are very self-critical at times and very much so perfectionist, I think that family influence definitely added a layer of like self-imposed stress, because yeah. I think if I called my mom right now and I said, like, would you be disappointed in me if this thing happened? She would say, like, absolutely not. But in my mind, I think because of, like, this family legacy, I think that for me personally might sometimes add an extra layer of expectation for myself.
Yeah.
So I think that's definitely something that I've had to work through a lot. And I think about that sometimes too, in general, with like choosing a career in medicine, that if I didn't have a dad who was a physician, would I have picked this career? And again, so hard to answer, because that's not my reality. But I feel like sometimes I wonder if that were the case, like if I had picked a different career and it had been something that I would feel like fulfilled in and happy with, I would just kind of have that same self-imposed family pressure on me anyway, just because that's the type of person I am. So I think that's like something that's so interesting, and something that when Nicole kind of suggested this topic to me, I was kind of thinking about that, is did I feel pressure to become a doctor essentially? And it's so hard to say, because I don't think I did, but if things were different in my like family situation, like would I have chosen this? Like, it's really hard to say.
Yeah.
So I think at the end of the day, like the way that I can kind of reconcile that reality is just knowing that even if I picked this in addition to all the reasons that I mentioned at the beginning, like in the back of my mind, I picked this because I thought that this was something that I needed to do to make my family proud. Mm-hmm. Like, I know that I'm happy where I am right now. And I think that's like something that helps me kind of feel better with that unknown idea of why I ended up in this career.
Yeah, that's so healthy too. That's such a good, healthy outlook to have.
Thank you.
Unless you have any other questions, Anna, I had two final questions for you.
Lay it on us, Nicole.
Number one, I wanted to ask what advice you would like to impart on any other medical students or pre-med students. I'm sure having a younger sister in this field helps you to think about those little tidbits of advice you'd offer. So that's my first question. We can start with that.
Definitely. So I think one of the things that I think has been really helpful for me too, personally, to like reconcile this privilege that I have, because I think that's something that it can be hard for people to talk about. Like, I think there's been a lot of talk in media about like nepotism babies, especially in acting, but even in medicine and really in any field, that if your parent or a family member is in that field, it becomes easier for you to enter that field. And I think part of that is like representation. Like, as a kid growing up, I knew that becoming a doctor was a profession that is possible. And I saw my own dad kind of do that. And beyond my dad, I saw female cousins in my family. So I think that kind of level of understanding is really important to kind of acknowledge. And I was doing some research before this episode just to kind of be a well-educated guest. And I found some really interesting literature. And there was an article from the AMA Journal of Ethics from, I think, like 6 or 7 years ago now. And it said that it's estimated that around 1 in 4 like medical professionals, like physicians, have a parent who is also a physician. But I found other estimates as well, and I wonder if that's changed in the last few years, but pretty significant number. Mm-hmm. And I think if
Absolutely.
You extrapolate that to beyond just a parent, especially now, because I think there's a lot of like dynamics and family structures, and people can kind of look to different people as role models. Like if we ask like how many people in my med school class have a parent, aunt, uncle, grandparent, step parent, like anyone who has provided like a parent-like role in their life in medicine, I wonder what that number would be. And then I think when you think about that number, it's hard to say that everything that the kids of physicians or the kind of products of physicians in any other way, that they end up physicians by their own merit. So I feel like that's something that I've definitely been thinking a lot more about, like the level of privilege that I had to get here. And I think if you separate that from kind of the intersectionality of people's identity, so just periods, like blanket statement, like your parent is a physician, how much easier is it for you to be a physician? But then sometimes when you add in that intersectionality, like race or like immigration status or any other like kind of part of someone's identity, if that can kind of make it even easier or make it even harder sometimes. Mm-hmm. And I think that's just such an interesting conversation that I'm hoping to kind of learn more about as I become a resident and eventually a physician. But I think one way that I've been able to kind of think about that and reconcile that and acknowledge that is through mentorship. And I think that's been something that's been really important for me even before medical school. In undergrad, I was like a peer leader and like all these different roles to help like younger students kind of navigate college life, and especially like pre-med students. And I think that was really fulfilling for me. And now in medical school, I try to find opportunities to like help the M1 students or the M2 or M3 students now, like kind of navigate medicine as well. And I think through all of those experiences, one of the biggest pieces of advice that I feel like I've benefited from sharing with other people is finding a way to kind of carve out your own space in this very scary realm.
Yes.
And I think that is something that I've kind of learned from some of the physicians that I work with as well, because like I mentioned, it can be so daunting and overwhelming to be part of this system. And I think a lot of days, the thing that kind of kept me going as a medical student was knowing that I can use my own privilege and my own knowledge and education and training to eventually make a difference. And I have to figure out how I'll make that difference. Like no one can decide that for me. And there's things about my personality and my skill set and my hopes and desires and all of these different things that make me who I am that inform that decision. So I think that's something that I've kind of valued about providing mentorship, is hoping that people kind of keep their individuality, especially in a field like medicine where professionalism is like kind of regarded as this like pinnacle of like you have to always be professional. And I think you can maintain professionalism while also maintaining your true self. So I think for pre-med students and medical students, I think that's definitely something that I hope they kind of hold on to.
Yeah, absolutely.
Girl, you're incredible.
Truly.
Okay, and then my second question for you is, we obviously have big events coming up. We have match day coming up in less than a month. And I'm so, so excited for you to find out where you match and for you to join the wonderful field of OBGYN, because we are so lucky to have you in our field. And I think you're going to do an incredible job wherever you end up.
Heck
so
yeah.
My last question for you is, what are you doing for yourself right now during this really stressful time?
Yeah, so I think I've kind of shocked myself, because when I thought about fourth year and even as I was applying, like I was on maximum stress the entire time. And I think Nicole can attest to that. When I was doing my sub-I, I was like, I had so many questions for her. And then even later, I would like text her like, all these little things, like how can I prepare for my interview? Like, what do I need to do? So I was very stressed out for that part of the application process. But then when interviews started, I kind of entered a space, and I don't know how this happened, but I just felt like I've done everything I can. I just need to be myself and see what happens.
Yeah.
And I feel like now I kind of have that same mentality with March 17th rapidly approaching. I kind of just tell myself, like, I did everything I could.
Mm-hmm.
I tried my absolute hardest, but I'm still human. So obviously there were things that I wish were on my application or I wish I had said during an interview, but I did my personal best. So there's nothing I can do to change that except trust that like everything will work out. So I think that's been really helpful. And sometimes I joke and I say like I'm gaslighting myself into believing that because if I say it enough, like I'll start to believe it. So when the gaslighting doesn't work, then I turn to other things. Luckily, I've been able to talk to my family a lot during this process. And I did my interviews from home in Cincinnati because they were all virtual. So that was really great that I would do my interview and my mom would like give me a hug before I went to the basement and did it. And then I would go upstairs and say like, oh, I'm done with my interview. And I could like talk to my mom about it and then like call my sisters and just kind of debrief. And I think it's been really nice to have like supportive friends as well. Like having supportive friends who are applying to the same field, but then also supportive friends who are applying to totally different fields or in different medical schools where you can just be very honest with them and say like, this is what I'm thinking and these are the considerations I have and like kind of bouncing ideas off of each other. And then the last thing that I just told Nicole is I've been going to yoga a lot, especially this past month. And I know that's like, generally people say that as like the band-aid wellness kind of activity. And I was listening to the wellness episode that you both did with Dr. Rachel Booth a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
And that was one of the things that you talked about. But for me, I think yoga has been so therapeutic. And I found a studio where I feel like it's been so great to just go. And sometimes I go multiple times a day, which is wild, but sometimes I need it. And you can just put your phone away and not even think about it and just have like an hour to yourself and kind of like marinate in those thoughts about like, okay, like I'm about to enter the next step of my career. This is what I've been waiting for. This is what I've been working hard for and training for. And there's nothing I can do to change what's going to happen on March 17th, but I can like prepare myself and feel happy with who I am and what I've done to get here. So I think that has definitely been keeping me emotionally stable right now.
You go, girl.
Yay. I'm so glad yoga is working for you.
Yes. Yeah.
You hear that? Wellness committees, it works.
Yeah. We cannot thank you enough for taking time out of your schedule to come speak with us, especially at this really stressful time. And especially short notice, we just kind of reached out to you recently and you were totally game and we just can't thank you enough.
Well, thank you. I feel so honored, especially as a super fan of the podcast. This is a dream come true to be featured on an episode.
Ma'am. Hi.
Yes. Hi. It's so good to see you. It's been so long.
Did you get new glasses?
No.
No? You look cute. You look fresh.
I don't recognize my face.
I know. It's been a hot second. It's been a hot second. What an absolute fucking delight to have been able to speak with Zenab again after many years.
She's incredible.
She's just one of
incredible.
The most like truly lovely people. Even in high school, when like nobody's super great in high school, she like the one memory I have of her is just what a kind-hearted person she was. And like our friend groups didn't really ever coincide that much. She was friends with the like really nice smart girls and I was friends with the feral theater kids. So she was in a lot of my like honors classes and stuff, but oh my god, it was so lovely to see her again. And I'm just,
yes,
she's gonna do amazing things and she has such a vibrant energy about her.
Absolutely. She's gonna make such a difference in her patients' lives.
Truly.
And she's just a ray of sunshine, and I loved getting to work with her as a fourth-year med student. And I, like she said, I was, like, fresh off the press, new intern, my first rotation. And she's just like helping me, encouraging me along the way. And I was like, I'm so thankful for you.
She's just, oh my God, truly one of a kind individual. I wish her nothing but the best on match day, which coincided with St. Patty's Day, apparently. So that's fun. That'll be a good time.
I have no doubt she's going to match. I always tell her, I'm like, and I told her this at the end of her rotation, and anytime I see her, I'm like, you know, I would love for you to come to our program, and I selfishly want that for me because I'm obsessed with you, but I want you to go where you want you to where you want to go, and I have absolutely no doubt that, like, any program that she goes to, she's going to be absolutely successful.
100%.
And, yes.
100%.
Yeah.
And she was just so intelligently spoken. Is that even the right grammar? I don't know. She was so well-spoken, too, and bringing up, like, nepotism, because we're seeing that a lot.
Yeah.
And I haven't seen a tweet from you in a hot second, Nicole, so I don't know how active you are on Twitter currently, but there was this one tweet that kind of went viral where this mom was, like, a chief or, like, a head of some ophthalmology clinic.
Oh, the ophthalmology.
Yeah, yeah, and then her daughter matched, and so there was a lot of talk about that,
yeah,
talk about nepotism, but she just spoke about it so eloquently. I was really impressed.
Absolutely.
With
her. So impressed. So, do you have any family members in medicine?
No. No, I do not. And I don't think you do either.
I do not.
Yeah.
I come from a long line of accountants.
When?
Okay, maybe not that long, but I have a lot of accountants in my family.
A lot of accountants in the family. Yeah, and it's just, it was so wonderful hearing her talk about her family and all the doctors in her family, but I couldn't help but feel a little bit jealous of, that would have been so cool if I had an older sibling who had, like, gone through mm-hmm. it and could have helped me. Because a big part of, like, fourth year was I was struggling with even what questions to ask and how do I rank,
yeah,
what should I be even be looking for to rank, like,
absolutely,
cities, sure. When I was making my rank list, I made little flashcards and I, like, sat down with my mom and I was, like, walking her through it, and we had, like, almost gotten through all my flashcards, and then my dad came over and, like, a true foreign parent came and rearranged them so that the salary was, like, highest to lowest, and I was like,
Dad,
Poppy, that's not what I'm focused on. That's so funny, but that's not what I'm focused on.
That's so funny. Yeah, I feel like exactly that. I feel like I don't have any family in medicine. I don't have, like, I didn't have anybody really above me. I had a couple friends, but, like, I feel like I went into this whole process truly blind. Like, starting medical school, I didn't know step one was a thing.
Dude!
That sounds horrible to say.
I didn't know there
were
three.
And then people kept talking about it. Yeah, people kept talking about it. And I was like,
what
is that?
Why
do we take this test? I was like, I guess I'll find out eventually when they tell me. And I went to, like, our learning specialist, and she's like, oh, you should get the first aid book. I'm like,
what
why
is
do
that?
I need a first aid book? Like, I'm in medical school. Like, why do I need first aid?
Oh, my
and
God, dude.
There's just so much stuff that I just, like, truly didn't know.
Yeah.
Or, like, even every step of the way, like, we recently had our in-service exam, which is, like, CREOGS, and I'm like,
what the heck is a CREOG?
I didn't even know that was a thing until, like, probably 2 weeks before we took it, and I just showed up. I don't, like, that's probably a me thing that I get too overwhelmed if I look at the whole picture.
No, that's
like,
okay.
And know everything.
Yeah.
So, like, step by step, but I don't know, man. I really came into this not knowing what I was getting myself into.
Me neither. Oh, I guess I misspoke. My grandmother was a nurse, but I don't have any doctors in my family.
Yes.
But, okay. Dude, and then it was like, once we finished step one, I was like, oh, thank God, I don't have to do that again. And then it was like, no, honey, you gotta take two more.
I didn't even know when we took step two until, like, several months after I took step one.
Yep. And then when I found out that step three was 2 days, I had a conniption.
Yep.
Like, mm-hmm. What more do you want from me?
Yeah.
Oh man.
I'm glad we were on the same page of just, like, fully not knowing what was going on ever. And I remember having, like, a full, like, panic when I was trying to figure out sub eyes.
Oh my God.
So I reached out to a friend who put me in touch with another person who was, like, going into OB, and she just, like, this person I'd never talked to called me in, like, the middle of a meltdown, and she's like, calm
breathe
down. It's okay.
Okay, in through your nose, out through your mouth. It's so funny. Yes. I remember too, like once I got into medical school, my parents were like, oh my gosh, that's so great. And then they were like, what's the curriculum? Like, what does that actually look like? What does that entail? And I was like, fuck, I don't know, man. I'm just happy that I got in. What do you mean curriculum? What do you mean I then have to study?
I had no idea what I was in for. But I feel like it would have been a lot when you look at the whole thing together.
I've been so overwhelmed.
One step at a time.
So overwhelmed. So you and your partner are both physicians now. Do you think if and when you have bebés, do you feel like you might nudge them a little bit more? You're a very open-minded person, though, so I feel like they wouldn't ever feel pressured to go into medicine, but...
Yeah. I think about that a lot because, you know, anxiety brain and, like, thinking about all of these unrealistic situations, which who knows if they will ever happen. Mm-hmm. But I feel like I would never pressure my kids into going anything. I think it's whether or not I get jaded enough to, like, want to encourage them to go away from it. I feel like I've heard of a lot of attendings that I've worked with say that they would encourage their kids not to go into medicine.
Yeah, I could see that.
It's a tough field. So right now I'm not to that point, but I think I'd be able to give them a more realistic picture of like how difficult the road is. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've definitely talked to several people in like my current level of training who said that if they had to do this over again, they wouldn't do it. And I think that's very reasonable too.
Yeah. I can't fault them for it.
Yeah. I would never pressure them into anything. And I also think that like we'll have the privilege of having enough financial stability to probably support any career that they would want to go into and try to help support any of that, whether it be sciences or arts or literature, whatever that they want to go into.
That's another thing that I wasn't expecting when I was in medical school, when I graduated, and especially during fourth year with sub-I's, and not only that, but even just applying for residency was all the hidden fees.
Oh my God. Yeah.
And like how expensive step exams are and like even like study material for them.
Or how they charge you extra to couples match. And why? Then they charge you extra for extra matches in the couples match.
I'm sorry, you're in love. Sucks to suck. I know.
there's so many, like, the resources and the steps. And then, like, I took step one, level one, step two, and level two. Mm-hmm. So the added cost of that and the resources.
Yeah.
And the supplies.
I still have my first aid. That baby's my grimoire. If anybody's ever like, you got one? I'm like, hell yeah, I got a grimoire.
I'm never getting rid of it. No. I just have such a vivid memory of sitting in the learning specialist office and being like, what is first aid? Like, why do I need this? And like not having any understanding of what she was telling me and what that book was.
Yeah. And just being so overwhelmed with how many different resources there are. Like, I love that there are resources out there, but then I just felt like I was drowning. And I was like, how do I know, like, which one to focus on? And now you're telling me don't do too many because you'll overwhelm yourself. How do I know? Oh, my God. I'm literally getting heart palpitations thinking about it. Thank God that's over.
Thank God for residence.
Oh, my God. Speaking of residency, my darling doctor... We're almost done with intern year.
That's crazy.
Can you believe that?
No. One of my attendings asked me that the other day, and I was like, no, I'm just a baby intern. I'm just a baby.
I'm just a baby, mommy. I'm just a baby.
That's how I feel every day.
I know. Like, I should know more about this, but I don't.
Yeah, and there's going to be so much more added responsibility and, like, them kind of letting you do more. And how are you feeling about it?
You know, overwhelmed but also excited, because I've just been like thinking a lot and journaling a lot about like these past 8 months or so. And I know, like me, you are a very high achieving type A person who likes to be on top of everything. And it's still like I'm always in a learning process of reminding myself that I'm a human. I am fallible. It's okay to make mistakes because we learn from those mistakes. But I was in the ED and there was a kid who was in respiratory distress, and my attending like was in the room with me, and he was like, what do you want to do? And I was like, I want to start a 1 hour continuous Duoneb, and I also want to start him on IV methylpred. And I knew exactly what to say, and I knew what to do. And after that, I was just thinking, and I was like, if I was in that situation like a couple months ago, I don't know. I feel like I would have frozen up. I feel like I would have panicked a little bit or been like, I don't know. But
I wouldn't know what to do.
Yeah, but like you don't see like kids in respiratory distress. I wouldn't know what to do if like a woman started having vaginal bleeding in front of me. I'd be like, oh God, I don't know. Put pressure. I don't know. But I feel like we have learned so much, and every like so much that we learn, I start to see how much more I have left. And I feel like I don't give myself enough benefit of the doubt of how much I have learned, how much I already have grown.
Yeah, you have.
Hell yeah.
You're incredible.
I'm still almost 5'6", but maybe one day I will make it to 5'8". You never know.
Yeah, you dream will. Big. I believe in you.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's incredible to look back over the last year and think of all that we've done and all that we've accomplished already. And it's daunting to think of all that we have to learn. But we still have, in your case, 2 more years, and in my case, 3 more years to learn all there is to know. And I mean, that's one of the things that draws me to medicine, at least, is that this is an ever-changing and adapting field. So we're going to be continuing to learn even after we're done, and hopefully in groups of physicians that help to support us, and we can still learn from our peers and continue to grow even as attendings.
Whew. It's an interesting career choice that we chose, Nicole.
Yeah.
I was talking to my absolute kick-ass attending. I'm doing an adolescent block, which I absolutely adore. It's a lot of really difficult stuff. Like, it's a lot of patients with eating disorders, and it's a lot of patients with who are transitioning, either male to female, female to male. And I really love it, and I love watching her interact with those kids. And she's just so kind, and she was like, even as an attending, you make mistakes and you learn things, and you have more time too to kind of focus on what you want to learn and take time away from that. And she was like, just keep learning, don't give up, don't stop. And I was like, I'm gonna try not to cry in front of you because you don't know me like that just yet.
Oh, I love that perspective.
Yeah, it's just little things like that, you know.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
But yeah, I also need it to be spring, please.
Oh my God.
So cold here.
It was like 80 degrees here today.
Shut the fuck up. Is that why you're wearing a t-shirt?
Yeah, it was like 80 degrees here today.
My fucking God. Do you see me? I'm in a sweatshirt. It's like 80 and sunny. I'm in a sweatshirt and I have a little blankie on.
Yeah, it was so nice out.
Oh my God.
I think it's going to be like 20 tomorrow because like Ohio, but...
Oh, Ohio.
24.
Do you think that those are going to be outlawed, like, in the next couple of years?
I hope so. I don't think they're useful.
They're not.
I don't think I get anything more out of them. And I do sometimes feel like there's a point in the night where I'm like, ooh, baby, I either need to sleep or coffee or I'm going to pass out.
4 a.m. is usually my wall. I hit it, and then I start being loopy.
This is my pro tip.
Yes.
I always drink a coffee at 4 a.m.
Ah.
Because it's long enough from when I go to sleep that I can still sleep just fine.
Long
but
acting.
Also, I'm getting coffee so I don't wake up with a headache when I wake up in the afternoon.
Oh, my God. Because of coffee withdrawals?
Yeah.
Oh, no. That sounds a little bit more like an addiction than a pro tip, but all right.
Well, I mean, most of us in medicine have raging caffeine addicts, I feel like.
That's true. That's very true.
Yes. That's my pro tip for 24-hour shifts.
I like it. It's a good call. Yeah, I'm going back on the floor, so I'm going to be looking forward to those. So good.
So great.
So great. Do you guys have any changes to your schedule from first to second year? Like, we do PICU, which is the pediatric intensive care unit, when we're... second years, do you guys have anything like that? That it's like, this woman's entire uterus fell out. What do you do? Like, stuff
like that. Well, there's a couple things. So, like, as interns, we cover term deliveries. Well, and then we've just started for the second half of intern year doing 34 weeks and up. So, like, late preterm.
Yeah.
So, I deliver everybody 34 weeks and up. And then, so they always say intern year is about learning normal labor and that process. And then second year is keeping people pregnant because it's preterm and you're like trying to stop the labor process and keep people pregnant for longer. So it's more of like the antepartum management. And then we also go to the Air Force Base and cover that hospital and work more calls.
Woohoo! Well, thank you. As the doctor of some preemie babies, I thank you for keeping them in there a little bit longer to cook.
We try.
Thank you.
We
thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Also, to our lovely listeners, thank you for sticking with us. I'm sorry that our schedule has been less constant as it usually is. Being a resident is very hard.
I'm so tired.
We're very tired. Thank you for bearing with us. We're going to keep trying to do this as long as we humanly are able to. But if that means that we might be a little late on some episodes, we are truly sorry. But again, residency is hard and we're trying to...
We're tired.
We're tired. We're tired.
That's it.
That's it. But Nicole, what's like a positive thing that you've done for yourself, like working 24 hours and kind of dying a little bit on the inside? But like, how you doing it, girl?
Well, let me tell you, Anna.
Tell me.
I have been having the time of my life playing Hogwarts Legacy.
Oh my God!
Yes, the new Harry Potter came out.
Yeah.
And it is a blast.
Oh, really?
I'm, like, not even playing, like, the quest and, like, the story mode. I just, like, be bopping around Hogwarts and, like, finding all the chests and, like, all of the secret hideaway things and, like, looting things and, like, collecting everything.
Being
a Slytherin. Yes. And I am just thriving. And at one point you get a broomstick and you're, like, flying around the outside of Hogwarts and I, like, started crying because it's just, like, incredible.
Yeah.
So I've just been, like, living my childhood fantasies as a Hogwarts student, going to classes.
You go, girl.
Having the time of my life.
Isn't it, like, 100 years prior to, like, Voldemort and Harry?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Who's the main baddie?
It's a goblin named Ranrock.
Ranrock. Of course. Yeah. Of course.
It's, like, I mean, like, there's a main storyline you go through, and then you have all these side quests. But, like... I feel like it's more about the world and just kind of, like, bebopping around.
Yeah.
At least that's my world.
Oh, it's open. It's open world?
Yeah.
Holy
and
shit.
And it's, like, huge. Like, the Hogwarts castle, like, I can't even tell you how big it is. Like, and you can go everywhere. And the details are incredible.
Watch out,
and
Elden Ring.
Like, the Hogsmeade.
Yeah.
And then you, like, all of the grounds of Hogwarts. Like, it's huge.
Whoa.
I can't even tell you how big it is. Like, I've never, granted, I don't play that many games, but I can't, like, it's incredible.
Watch out, Elden Ring. Hogwarts Legacy is coming for your crown.
I don't know. That's people so are saying fun. It's great. Not just me.
That's awesome, dude.
Yes. Yeah, so that has been my escape from the world.
That's a good escape. That's a very good escape to have.
Yes. What has been your escape or your hip hip hooray?
I have needed, like, a TV show that's, like, I don't know, because I like a lot of horror, I like a lot of action, but, and Last
Wait,
of Us.
Are you talking about The Last of Us?
Last of Us is awesome, but sometimes.
Incredible.
I'm just like, I just need something like New Girl, something fluffy and something nice.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched the whole first season of Ted Lasso.
So good.
Oh my God. It was just
Doesn't
like.
Doesn't your heart hurt just, because you're so happy?
Oh my God. Just what I needed. And I feel like we need more characters who their like primary character trait is that they are kind. And they want the most for other people. Like Ted Lasso, he doesn't have any ulterior motives. He's just a really good person, and it just made me so stupidly happy. And like
it's so good.
So free. And like Jason Sudeikis is so that's him, right? I get him and the guy from Arrested Development confused sometimes. That's Jason Bateman, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. But he's so good at it, and like the characters are so interesting, and like Roy was such an interesting character.
Oh my god, I love
him. He's so great. I love how like mean he is. And I don't know, it just made me really happy and it made me smile, and I feel like we need more shows like that that are just good, mm-hmm. pure fun. But I'm really upset at the finale, man. They should have won.
Oh my god.
I literally almost cried.
The new season comes out soon.
Oh my god.
You watched it all just in time.
Oh, perfect. Perfect.
It's like mid-March, I think.
Excellent.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you've been getting both ends of the spectrum with The Last of Us crushing your soul and ugly crying every week like I have been. Dude. And then also Ted Lasso, also ugly crying sometimes because it's so happy.
God, The Last of Us. I don't know if you've ever played that game before, but that was one of the first.
I did.
Yeah, it's one of the first video games that I played that I literally was not okay once I finished it. I just had, like, my twin brother and I both had the same reaction. We just had to sit in silence and just process, like, what happened. But I don't want to spoil the show for anybody, so we won't talk about what happens at the end. Mm. But Pedro Pascal, what a man.
Oh my god.
What a man.
Incredible casting.
What a man.
Incredible.
Love him. And then the Mandalorian's supposed to come back out soon.
I know. He's taking over.
Oh my god, I love that. God, I love him. Anyway, Nicole, where can these lovely people find us?
You can find us at Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, anywhere you get your podcasts. Like, subscribe, leave us a review. We appreciate all of you.
Yes, we do.
You can also reach out to us at impersonatingdoctors@gmail.com or reach out to us on Instagram at impersonatingdoctors. Am I forgetting anything else, Anna?
I think the last thing, guys, is remember to
take a damn break. Yay.
Bye.
Bye, guys.